to the Mudhorn Clan Cast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Sean Fangirl-ass.
I'm Sith Lord Steve.
And I'm Beskar Dave, and today we're talking about Chapter 20 of The Mandalorian, titled The Foundling, Episode 4 of Season 3, written by Jon Favreau, and Dave Filoni, directed by Carl Weathers.
So, are we prepared for our really in-depth recap?
I took a couple of notes.
Din Djarin returns to the hidden Mandalorian covert. Wow. That's deep. That can just mean everything.
He was already there. He didn't return. He returned in the previous episode. Come on, get it right.
Can you guys quit screwing with us, please? Yeah. Don't spoil it, but give us something. I don't know. Something exciting happens in the covert. Something. I don't know.
Yeah, like they introduced a new toy.
Yes. So, initial reactions. I think we already got Sean, so Dave.
I thought it was a good one. Lots of action, but not just for the sake of action. I think it really serviced Bo's Katan's story in this.
Yes.
Her growth. Agreed.
So you liked it on two fronts.
Yep. And not only that, did we also get the little Order 66 backstory.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yep, sure was. I might have a moment on that. One of my favorite.
And I want to know how the armor is going to make Mandalorian helmets for those dragon babies.
Can't wait. More toys.
I assume that was a big joke and that was going to be like dinner for a while, but
yeah.
Who knows?
I was bumming out because there goes another one and they left the babies. Oh, good.
Bo would never leave the babies.
I certainly underestimated her.
Yeah.
Okay, so we might as well get right into it because I'm busting here. Top three moments, everyone. Number three. Sean, go ahead. Lead us off.
Okay, so I'm kind of afraid because I know this moment's going to bump up against you guys and I don't know where you have it. We should have discussed beforehand. We have the Order 66.
Somebody was 66. In a hurry to get rolling today.
Sorry. The Order 66 moment. See, I don't want to take it all away. But I thought it was interesting that we get to see a certain Jedi who happens to be a certain person who everybody now feels redeemed themselves in Star Wars culture. Which I still feel like the original issue was not his fault at all. But
right. It's not. I did write my notes, thank God. Well, you can go ahead and just say spoiler alert for The Phantom Menace?
Oh, yeah. God, going back that far. So we had Ahmaad Best as Kelleran Beck, who's the one who saved Grogu. When we get to see that, when he's having his little flashback, which was a little depressing seeing him have that flashback, too, because it was so sad.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen him sad like that before.
I know. And it's like, it's a puppet. What? This is making me feel a lot of things right now. But we get to see this and how tragic this really was. And I know this is only one small area that it happened in, but it was really interesting to me that it was, oh my gosh, I don't remember how many, before he finally got to Kelleran back. So it's like, wow, they're just, any other time, a stormtrooper can't hit the side of a barn, all right?
Right.
And they're mowing down all these Jedis. It's like, oh my gosh. And just to see how many died before he got out. And then when little Grogu comes back, it was like, just interesting to see all the things that happened and that it was a Naboo ship that got him out. And were those the Royal Guard? I couldn't remember. Gosh. Like, based on their armor, or were they just guards?
I really can't say. I bet somebody does know. But they were dressed in uniform like, and it does seem awfully similar to the Royal Guards. Yes, maybe was sent there. Well, I'm trying to think back. I was going to say somebody has inside knowledge to what Darth Vader's all about in the Royal Palace for sure. But I can't think of exactly where that falls in the timeline.
Well, the red clone shock troopers were the clones belonging to the Coruscant Guard, an elite team of clones whose sole purpose is to protect Coruscant. These clones are often shown in Palpatine's direct command, hitting that Palpatine specifically was after Grogu during Order 66. So,
okay. Does that fall within one of your top moments, Steve?
Not mine.
Not yours, okay. Well, you got a number three for us?
Yes. My number three is Bo-Katan becomes more open to the ways of the Watch. As we see Ragnar being plucked off the beach by a huge flying creature. I'm going to call it a dragon.
Bo-Katan called it a raptor.
Yeah. Of course, several Mandalorians fly after the creature to try to save him, but they all run out of fuel. Luckily, Bo-Katan used her now helmet-covered head and flew behind them in her ship. She returns, revealing she knows where the raptor has brought Ragnar, and a team is assembled to go get him. Mandalorians reach the top of the Dragon Mountain and discover the monster is not there. Paz Vizsla reveals that Ragnar is his son and runs in to try to find him, accidentally waking up a trio of raptor babies that mother. Of course, the raptor returns and coughs up Ragnar. That had to be a weird feeling.
Well, they didn't use special effects and cover them with, like, a raptor spit.
Yeah.
Or something like that. They could have.
Yep. Mandalorians chase her through the air again and tie up her wings with nets and rope, which causes her to plummet into the lake and get chomped up by that giant alligator.
Yeah, just when you think you've gotten rid of all of them. Nope.
Yep. They all return safely, bringing the raptor babies with them so they can be trained in the ways of Mandalore. Why? I have no clue. It will be interesting to see if we do find out.
I bet the armor is going to go back inside her to her forge and go, how am I supposed to fit these guys?
Yes.
I want to see it, though.
Armor got damaged in the scuffle, so the armorer goes off to repair it. Rather than another owl crest, Bo asks if to have her armor stamped with the Mythosaur sigil and tells the armorer that she saw a real Mythosaur back on Mandalore. The armorer doesn't seem to really believe her, but they both shrug off the conversation with the standard, this is the way. That's my number three.
Okay, I talked to someone who thought the armorer was the mother of Ragnar. Of course.
Oh, that's a possibility.
So this, my friend goes, wow, nothing faces her at all. Maybe it's her son. And he flies off and gets captured. And then the father, obviously, is Paz Vizsla, right? Flies off, you know. You don't know if they're coming back or not. When they do come back, it's like polite applause, you know. Ah, good job.
Yeah.
My friend also thought, we have to learn more about the armor, because what if she? I don't know. She's someone who has a religious nature behind her. Counter, she's the leader. She bestowed a great honor on Bo, so lots of questions. And I have a number three, too. Guess what it is? Three raptor babies in the nest. Mom arrives and, I wrote in my notes, spits out Ragnar. I wonder if she had that all calculated. Well, let's see. I don't know why he wasn't chewed or spit out earlier, but lucky him, he's just, you know, doing some hanging out in somebody's monster's esophagus. He gets spit out so he can get clawed up, and the father gets grabbed instead in the mouth. I'm like, wow. It was awesome, though, just to see those. Stupid Paz Vizsla.
Yeah.
How many times did Bo-Katan say, be stealthy, quiet?
Yes.
This guy goes charging up there. He's my son. Well, yeah, dude, don't you want? Well, it's bring the mother out. So, okay, we can move on to number two. Sean.
Wait, whole time, I just want to go off yours for a second. The whole time they're climbing up and he's got that giant gun.
I know.
My husband and I are like, oh, I shouldn't have brought the big gun. I should have brought the smaller one.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, that's what they're, right? I was dying at that. My number two.
Okay, wait a sec. Do you suppose they have a section of that cave called the man cave?
Oh, God.
I don't take
that as... Yeah, and if the armorer is Ragnar's mom,
yeah,
did they remove their helmets?
That's what everybody. That's the big joke.
Yes,
clanking helmets.
Never remove their helmet. Just everything else.
It is the way. All right, sorry, Sean.
Oh my gosh, there was a lot of good stuff in here though. But my number two was when Bo-Katan was with the armorer and she was making the other shoulder plate. I forget what she officially called it. And when she had kind of started to open up, and she's like you said, Steve, you know, oh, I see the Mythosaur. It's like, oh, you'll see many visions. It's like, nope, not what I meant. Yeah.
Nope.
I'm wondering, because it's so hard to tell with the armorer. It's like, no matter what's happening, her voice stays exactly the same.
Right.
So it's
like, you don't get the acting that Din Djarin does when he's actually talking. You don't get to feel the emotions.
Well, that's why I'm like, I know that's deliberate with her. And that's why we don't know, is she excited about it? Like, because now, okay, wait, if the Mythosaur is there and Bo-Katan's seen it, you know, she falls into some folklore thing, whatever. But it's like, oh, give something away, armorer. I don't know. Say something.
Right, yeah. I would have expected, okay, the race is on to get to Mandalore.
Yeah,
right.
Me too.
Whoever contained the Mythosaur will lead Mandalore once again.
Yeah, you think that would be a big deal to her. A real
yes.
Big deal.
I'm wondering if we're going to see something more in the next one. But yeah, her voice just stays so steady. She's not giving anything away.
No way. Steve, what's your number two?
My number two is Grogu escapes Order 66. The Armorer tries teaching Grogu about how Mandalorians are like the armor they wear, in the sense that they have to be melted down and forged into something stronger. Well, Grogu isn't really listening, though, because watching her work reminds him of being on Coruscant during Order 66, when the clone troopers betrayed the Jedi. Grogu remembers seeing a group of Jedi trying to protect him, all of whom get killed by clones. How did that ever happen? They found a set of clones that could actually shoot?
Exactly my point. Yeah.
He makes it into an elevator and meets a Jedi named Kelleran Beck, played by none other than Ahmad Best, Jar Jar Binks himself. Kelleran grabs two lightsabers and effortlessly holds off some clones, and then he and Grogu jump into a flying motorcycle and zip off through the urban canyons of Coruscant. Later on, Grogu and Kelleran jump into a chromed-out Nubian yacht and fly away, leaving that flashback story unfinished for now.
I thought it was interesting, too, that the clones just didn't care. They're, like, firing everywhere.
Yes.
I'm, like, surprised we're not seeing people fall out of their speeders. Like, ah!
You know, yes.
Off into the depth. Because they were
going nuts. We did see the train that we saw in the previous episode again.
Oh, yeah, when they...
Yeah, when Pershing got caught.
We used to do good train roll.
Yeah.
They were smart, though. But zoom, get him this way. Zoom. That was my best special effects voice. This
zoom, zoom, zoom. I'm sure you practice your pew, pew, pews, too.
I do, quite often.
Okay. Steve, I got a shocker for you. My number two?
Yep.
Same thing. I got Ahmad Best as Kelleran Beck, and then, as I said, I wrote in my note, thank God.
Yes.
Because... The poor dude, the actor, he really took all that criticism of his original character. He's been other Star Things. You know, those Star Thingies that we watch on TV. But he was nearly driven to suicide because of his depression over how his character received.
Right.
And I'm so glad somebody thought to turn him into a kick-ass hero.
Yes.
Hope we get to see him again.
Yeah.
All right, we're rapidly moving on to number one here, Sean. Go ahead.
Okay, my number one was Grogu fighting Rex. Because the first two hits, when he's looking at Din Djarin like, what the hell? I love Din Djarin. Don't look at me, look at him.
Yeah.
And then finally, like, listen, I know what you can do. Show him. Go ahead. Kick his ass, basically. That whole moment, and with Bo-Katan, like, he doesn't know how to do this? What's going on? First of all, when was he teaching him this? Come on, Bo. Think about it. But I did love that. Just the whole moment when she's like, go ahead. And I'm like, okay, Auntie, I'll go do it.
Yeah.
And then he just like.
Him. Yeah.
My dad. And then just wham, wham, wham.
He's like a little league dad.
Yes.
Only a much nicer little league dad.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Several. So I love that. And then he's just like, bam, bam, bam. And it's like, oh, shit. See, you talk smack, kid. And that's what you get.
Yeah, Ragnar's look in that moment was priceless.
Right? But he's too small. And all I kept thinking, of course, was Yoda. Size matters not.
Do you suppose for Halloween, Grogu's going to dress up as Spider-Man because since he uses that wrist?
There's some crossover art we need.
Somebody draw a picture of that. Okay, Steve, what do you got?
My number one is the same thing. Eating Paz Vizsla's kid. That was so awesome.
Yep.
He was too cocky. He needed to be taken down a peg.
Yep, just like Paz does.
Right.
What did Din Djarin say to him? Oh, maybe this lesson's for you.
Yeah.
Wow, you really are a little league dad. All right, ready for my number one then?
Ready. I'm scared.
I know you're sitting. I picked Bo confessing to the armorer that she saw a real Mythosaur, and not only was the armorer nonplussed by the whole thing, I thought. I was so cynical about Bo-Katan, I thought she was going to keep this to herself.
Right.
Now, why wouldn't the word spread after this? And it's going to get back to the Mandalorian, too, Din. He's like, why didn't you tell me? Well, sorry. I thought for sure she had some type of plan to get the Darksaber and take over. I mean, she's the only one that knows it's down there. Right. Not anymore. So, wow, I'm really curious to see where this goes now.
Especially with how much she was watching all the training. Like, she was really interested. Like, okay, these guys actually seem to have some skill. And so I was like, I think this is going to turn into something different. So I'm still hopeful that we're going to see something in the next episode. Like, the armor is going to say, attention, Bo-Katan Kryze has something to tell everyone. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah. She'll probably say it's not for me to say. It's up for you to tell everybody. Good grief. Okay, we can move on to honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Do we have music for that? Sean, what do you have?
We should. I have two. So, one, when Grogu's playing with the, and this is in quotes, rock, because we find out that they were all crabs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
At first, I thought he was moving them, like using the force. So I'm like, oh, no, they were probably creeping up on him, but he was probably going to eat you if you got too close. I mean,
yeah, he tried. When he picked one up, it wouldn't have went back into its shell. He would have been trying to chomp on it, and it might have chomped him back.
Well, I mean, he ate.
I would have loved to have seen it grab his nose.
Cut his face, yeah.
He goes,
I mean, yeah, and then Din's like, put the rocks down. It's like, I was hungry. Yeah, Dad, let me play. And then the other part was when, the other honorable mention, when they were at the fire. And they all leave to eat because Bo asks, well, how do you eat? It's like, oh, no, you don't. You have to wait till everybody's gone. And she, when she gets the honor of staying by the fire and takes off her helmet, she looked really sad in that moment. And I don't know why that stuck with me so much. I think it's because it's like, you know, her people didn't live by you have to have your helmet on so you can never have face-to-face contact.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, she's learning this. She's doing more stuff and she's probably going to get her Mandalorian army, so to speak, but she just looked sad at the same time because she's like alone. You're together, but alone.
Yeah, again, like in her palace.
Yeah.
Alone again, naturally.
So, I mean, it just kind of stuck with me. So,
yeah, I see that.
Steve, what was your honorable mention this week or mention?
Yeah, I've got two as well, and one of them was Bo having to eat by herself.
I mean, what if they were eating together, but like back to back, kind of, so that you wouldn't look at each other. I wonder if that's allowed.
Yeah, we've seen Din Djarin, you know, tilt his helmet up so he can have soup or whatever else.
Right.
I thought for sure they were going to do that, but nope.
Well, that was before he bathed in the living water.
Right.
Well, he didn't tell anybody, though. I think at that time he was still total helmet on guy, except for the little soup tilt.
Right. And what doesn't make sense to me is, by having everybody go off by themselves, is just needlessly dangerous.
Well, that's like putting your camp behind next to a lake full of monsters.
Yes, absolutely.
That was some subject of some Twitter talk past weekend. Like, don't they ever learn?
Yeah, you would think.
And somebody responded, they like living life on the edge. They want the danger. So I'm like, okay, danger junkies.
Yep.
I seen one that said they're in space Australia where everything wants to kill you.
And my other honorable mention is we get another trench run, this time chasing
raptor.
Yeah, but all the Mandos run out of fuel until the gauntlet comes flying past.
Yeah, somebody's thinking.
Yes.
She got herself in a position a lot in this episode, whether intentional or not, of being the hero and honored.
Yes. All right. Ready for rating.
Hello. I got three.
Oh, wait. Dave's got honorable mention.
Now, instead of forgetting the ratings, I jump ahead.
Well, I'm pretty much similar to what you guys did. I Grogu playing with rock crabs. You know, I thought that was awesome. I don't know why he was that close to the water, considering what happened previously.
He'd put it to sleep. It's fine.
Oh, sure. And I like the fireside honor for Bo. Another chip on her shoulder, or really a plus for her, you know, even though she had to do it alone. And
Paz called her the leader of the war party.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really stepping up fast. The last honorable mention I have is the rondel, or rondel, that the armorer made for little Grogu.
Right.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Yeah, when she was tinkering with it, did it seem like it was wired?
I thought that too.
Yeah, like on the underside.
Trying to track him or something?
What do you suppose that's about?
Okay, I'm glad you seen that because I was wondering, I'm like, is it just like things that clip onto his little chainmail shirt or what? But it looked like wiring.
And it looked like she put it inside his chainmail.
Somebody on Twitter, it was Joanna Robinson, said, stop putting armor on that baby.
He's going to fall over. Like, wow.
Yeah. Don't you dare. You get him armored up so he's safer.
Yeah. And I love the fan art that came out of that, though. Like, fan art came out that he was in a... Because he's so tiny that the scraps were plenty to make him a whole armor, whole bodysuit, basically. With a little helmet with his ears sticking out, but no visor because he hadn't said the word.
Right.
So he just didn't have the little visor so you can still see his face. But I'm like, oh my God, it was adorable. But yes, Dave, I want to know what's up with those wires too. Somebody's got to know something because I hope to God they're not like going to turn on Din Djarin and Grogu. Grogu might crush all their helmets.
Yeah.
Their heads still in them. I'm just saying.
Just your head like a grape.
Taking it back to that other episode.
Yeah, more kids in the hall. when just before she, there was two sides to it, and it looked like wires. When she was lifting it from the forge or a table she was working on, it looked like something akin to a soldering gun or whatever. And she like gave it a little spark, like she finished. I'm like, what are you doing? What is that for? A tracker, or so they can talk to each other because he doesn't wear a helmet? I don't know.
He isn't talking to anybody anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he has said a few more little. Sounds like words.
When she told him to, they all went off to the rescue. She said, follow me into the cave. You could see him in a distance through the cave entrance. He's like doing that little Grogu walk.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
It was.
And I'm like, come on. He's got little teeny tiny legs. Pick him up. Or he's going to jump on your back.
I know, really.
Again, going back to Yoda in a backpack. I was expecting that to happen anytime now. But I did like, and I guess this is another honorable mention, that she was talking to him just like she's talking to anybody else.
Right.
It's like, you're too little to go. I'm sorry, but we have much work to do. And just like kept going. Like, I'm not going to treat you any different from anyone else. So that was a plus. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I can just see the two Mandalorians at the cave entrance going, isn't he the cutest?
Look at his little legs.
Look at that.
Is that you all your honorable mentions, Jay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now it's time for some ratings. Sean?
I am going to say a 4 out of 5. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the storyline. The whole weird dragon bird thing, whatever, was kind of strange. But I think it did kind of move it along if you paid attention. So, because, you know, it went really far to try to find food. Yeah, because you're living on, you know, a nothing planet. Hello. Right. But I liked how it did kind of move stuff along. We got background. We got Bo's story moving forward. And it wasn't just any one person in this.
Right.
4 out of 5.
Well, I also gave it 4 out of 5. The armor is going to need more Beskar for Dragon Helmet.
Well, we know where she can find it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm giving it 4 out of 5 Raptor Babies, too. Right. When I saw them walk out of that ship, you know, they're pulling them on ropes and trying to tease them out with a piece of meat. And one of them falls on its face. Did you see that? Gets to the end of the ramp and goes trips and then lands right on its face.
Yep.
You know, falls are always funny when you're watching something. Come on.
Poor baby. Yep. 4 out of 5 Raptor Babies.
All right. Well, as always, our friend Fred from the Netherlands has provided us some feedback on this episode. So let's hear what he thought of it.
Hello, Steve, Dave, and Sean. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 4. I think I can be brief about this episode. It's really a action-packed, very good CGI episode. Did it bring the story much further? I don't think so. The whole story was more or less about a captured kid, and we are going to try to rescue him. And that was actually the whole story. Although we see some things of Mandalorian society here, having a nice and cozy meal at the campfire is obviously not possible. We learn here that the Mandalorian kid is actually a kid of one of the other Mandalorians. That's logical. But I really wonder how this creed and not removing your helmet is done within a family setting. Are you not allowed to eat together with your helmets off even within the family? Or how do you do Mandalorian sex, for instance, with or without helmet. I really wonder why they brought these raptor chicks with them. Is that because of the younger viewers of this series? Because otherwise they would react, oh, what's going to happen to this poor, poor little chick? Well, we saw in that nest that they are not so innocent. Or are we getting a setting like in the movies of Avatar, where they can fly on these raptors? Mandalorians love flying anyhow. It's a pity that we didn't see anything about the Dr. Pershing story, the follow-up of that, because that was a complete Chekhov's gun in the sense of we have to get back to that story because it took too much in the last episode in time. But we have probably to wait until one of the next episodes to continue that story. Talking about Chekhov's guns, the fact that Bo-Katan talks to the armorer about the mitosaur and get the mitosaur sign on her shoulder is also a Chekhov's gun, and we will surely go back somehow to this mitosaur. Last thing, and that was actually about previous episode, recreating clones of one DNA strand. They should have had a better scientific consultant there. Humans have 46 chromosomes, so you could say 46 strands. And I know it's all about a galaxy far, far away, so perhaps they aren't even human. And of course there are animals with less amount of chromosomes. But one is really crazy. Normally you get one set from your father and one set from your mother. Well, in nature there are at least two organisms in real nature that have one chromosome. One is a roundworm and the other one is the male of a Australian ant, the jackjumper, but the females have two. Even a fruit fly has eight chromosomes, four sets. Okay, that will be all for this time. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Fred had to dish out some scientific knowledge there for everybody.
I was going to say, Fred also known as the science guy.
Yes, he is.
Well, I didn't know. Well, I mean, I knew some of the whole chromosome strands, everything, DNA, but not that in depth. So thank you for that. But yes, after listening to the episode, Fred, I'm sure you heard us joking about the Mandalorian sex too.
Yeah.
It's too bad he found it action packed, but it didn't move the story forward, because I opened up pretty much with it. It had a lot to do with Bo's story, Bo-Katan's story.
Yes.
I thought I'd. You can come up with three or four or five different instances where her story was advanced, especially at the end.
Right.
But I think with the doctor's story not moving forward, I don't know if we're ever going to get anything more about it or if it's going to be completely separate. Like, all right, we stopped him from being able to clone anything and help do anything or give away secrets. So that's just where I'm assuming it ended. It's like, so we're going to be left to wonder how the heck everything happened from the last three movies.
Right. They'll have to revisit the Moff Gideon's comms officer.
Yes.
They're going to have to go back.
I think Moff Gideon will have something to do with getting Pershing back as well.
Yeah. Well, maybe Pershing's going to get the same treatment that a few other characters in Star Trek Picard. They'll just put him in glass and seal him up and put him in a museum.
You won't hear anything else.
That's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as those chicks, he says it was for the younger viewers. I thought that too. Toys, you know, there's always toys.
Yeah.
And yes, they like to, I would say, yeah, they like to fly too. So, but it's the first thing I thought, well, they grow up, they're going to be riding them and flying around on these raptors.
Yep. Absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah. It'll be like the eagles from Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
To the rescue again.
Or like the, I didn't say the Ragnarok, that's not the right word. The one from Book of Boba Fett, Rancor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think about it.
Well, they made a doll out of that too, didn't they? Or action figure, sorry.
Well, as always, Fred, we really appreciate your feedback and looking forward to hearing from you again.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 10 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you have for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Mandalorian podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can check us out over at www.fangirlzone.com and find our contacts page with all the other ways you can get a hold of us other than just email. And you can also find our podcast page with all of our podcasts, because I'm sure there's going to be something that tickles your fancy over there. So, for this episode of the Mudhorn Clan Cast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve. I've seen what you can do. It's okay. Show 'em.
I'm Sean Fangirl S. And do you think Grogu will let me borrow his bling? It's a nice size chain.
And this is Beskar Dave. I had a fireside chat with Bo-Katan once, and I took off my helmet. You know what she said? Put it back on.
There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.